Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay. I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, October 16th, 2023. Today we are reading from the Big Book on page 158, the fifth paragraph down, which begins, "You can see." So you see, there were three alcoholics. Today's readers are Letty G. reading the 12 Steps, Alex K. reading the 12 Traditions, and reading the text are Shelley E., Bonnie B., and Cheryl S. Our newcomer greeter today is Lorraine N., and making announcements will be Lois P. Please stay around for all of it. Okay, the reference numbers for yesterday, Sunday, the special edition meeting is 20,745 or 20745. And for this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast meeting, the reference number is 20,746 or 20746. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated by any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Letty G. to read the 12 steps of OA. Good morning, Letty.
Good morning, everybody. I'm Letty G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in recovery today. Here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admit it, we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for His knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, We try to carry the message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to give service, and I pass.
Thank you, Letty G. And Alex K., would you please read the 12 traditions of OA?
Thank you, Kathy. Good morning, everyone. Alex K. in California, compulsive eater, gratefully living in recovery for today. 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such will never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name will never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you. Grateful to do service.
Thanks so much, Alex K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 158, the fifth paragraph down, and I will ask Shelley Yee to get us started. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley Yee, a recovered compulsive overeater for one more week in Northern Michigan. Page 158, the Big Book. So you see, there were three alcoholics in that town who now felt they had to give to others what they had found or be sunk. After several failures to find others, a fourth turned up. He came through an acquaintance who had heard the good news. He proved to be a devil-may-care young fellow whose parents could not make out whether he wanted to stop drinking or not. They were deeply religious people, much shocked by their son's refusal to have anything to do with the church. He suffered horribly from his sprees, but it seemed as if nothing could be done for him. He consented, however, to go to the hospital, where he occupied the very room recently vacated by the lawyer. I'm so excited to be able to read this part of the Big Book. I love the Big Book, but these couple of pages are a couple of my favorites. I know for myself that I have to continue to work with others in order to keep myself in program. I think it's pretty amazing that these three realized in the very beginning of our program how important it was, that they had to give to others what they had, what they had found, or be sunk. I heard, I'm sure in these meetings before, but I did hear the analogy of water. You know, even water, if it sits for a while, becomes stagnant, you know, pure water, it either dries up or, you know, it becomes, you know, just foul. So I tell my sponsees, and I liken that to our program, we have to give it away. We have to refresh ourselves and our program all the time. When I was first recovered, I remember I talked to a fellow, and she said, you know, I work my step 12. I just take 10 steps all day long from people. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's a fantastic idea. So I called my sponsor and I said, you know what I found? I found a great niche for myself. I don't think I'm going to be sponsoring. I think what I'm going to do is just put myself out there and take step 10s all day long. And she said, well, now that would be a wonderful way of service, but that is not step 12. If you are going to be a recovered person in our program, you need to be sponsoring. So turn your little butt around and go back and find yourself a sponsee. And I did that, and I haven't looked back. I did hear in a meeting this weekend an interesting thing I thought, and maybe you guys have already heard it, but the person said, if I stop doing the things that keep me in program, I'll start doing the things that brought me to the program. And I thought, oh gosh, isn't that the truth? And the last thing I'll say about this paragraph is the threes. Faith, the Trinity is a big thing. And I know for our program too, we're spiritual, emotional, and physical. And the threes in these couple of pages are amazing. It's the last three times AA number three got drunk. There were three alcoholics in that town. He had three visitors. On the third day, the lawyer gave his life. It just goes on and on. And for me, if I ever had any question as to whether this was divinely inspired, for me, again, just for me, this brought it home for me. It was the last thing. It was the nail in the coffin for me. Anyways, I look forward to hearing what everybody else has to say, and thank you for letting me share. Have a great day.
Thanks so much, Shelley E., for getting us started. Okay, who would like to share today? And just a reminder before I start taking names, if you shared in the last 2 days, that would be Friday or Thursday on this meeting, we ask that you wait and give other people an opportunity to share. So who would like to share this morning?
This is Chris from Oregon.
Chris P.
Elena C.
Elena C.
And Joe S.
Bruce.
Joe M. from Minnesota.
Wait a second. Bruce E. Who came in after Bruce? I heard somebody. Do you
Cheryl
remember?
S.
Cheryl S.
Jody E.
Jody E.
Joe M., Minnesota.
Joe M. Anybody else? Okay, this is a great lineup. Let's begin with Chris P. Please, everyone else, make sure you're muted. Go ahead, Chris.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Monday. I had an epiphany when I was reading this paragraph, and I wanted to share it with all of you. I actually had to write it down before I forgot it. The vices which we lean upon, such as food or alcohol, are due to unrequited issues in our lives. Page 86 provides good clues in that field. Programs such as OA and AA should not be regarded as crutches, but sobering havens from whence the stricken wanderer embarks upon their quest to uncover what is at the core of their malady. God does not do the forgiving. We do. Forgiveness is not saying a wrong has not been done, but it's a casting of the offending experience into our past, over our shoulder, as it were, with the affirmation that it will no longer be allowed to have any further effect on our future. Only we individually can do that, with God's help, of course. God is only as strong in our lives as we let him be. God stands behind and beside us, but he does not point the way nor lead us by the hand or tell us what to do. For in so doing, he would rob us of our agency in the final analysis. The solution to the vice which the child of God seeks a solution to must be acquired on our own. Only then will a supplicant build a solid and secure foundation to be proud of. And that's what this paragraph was all about. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you for sharing, Chris P. Okay, Elena C., please share with us.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C. from South Carolina, recovered for today. I have been out of the country for 2 weeks, could not attend these meetings. I'm so grateful to be back and just hear the words of recovery, the language of God that comes through you and through this book. And what stood out for me the most was how these three people, they have to find others or be sung. And what does that mean is that I believe the ultimate care, self-care and recovery, the ultimate conscious contact with God is helping others. And, you know, I wouldn't have thought it that way ever, because what I do, what I used to do when helping others is just truly lose myself. And I equated helping others with less of self-care, with selflessness. And although this book talks about the self-sacrifice, this is self-sacrifice. It doesn't say, well, sacrifice yourself until you are going to be drowned and that and so forth. No, it says sacrifice yourself when and after you completed the working through the steps and, you know, conscious contact with my higher power. So sacrifice means, you know, just with my higher power, do my higher power's will for me to stand, to be able to be present for my fellows in a way that I was never ever was able to be present for my fellows. You know, and that means listening, you know, being recovered and listening. And here, their higher power's words, you know, when they talk about suffering, the people talk about suffering to me, higher power talks to me about their suffering. So then, therefore, I could kind of press on this language of recovery, because to them, you know, to release their suffering. It's all about that. Whatever people do or say or act, even if they're foolishly, you know, hurt others, that's deep suffering. And I can be of help for anyone in this world. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elena C. Elena C., sorry. And Bruce E., please share with us.
Yeah, thank you. My name's Bruce E. I'm in Southwest Florida, Fort Myers, Florida area, and I'm grateful today to be recovered. Compulsive overeater. I like the reading here that three alcoholics in the town, right? And they had to give to others what they had found. Why did they have to give it to others? Well, because they needed others, others needed them, and on and on and on about that. But it said, or be sunk. So the real reason they needed people, others, other alcoholics, is they'd be sunk. They'd fail. And then they failed. But then the failures here, I didn't mean that kind of failure, but the failure here is I think I read in the AA Comes of Age that they tried all summer to find somebody, and they failed with everybody all summer. But then this fourth one pops up. So here's a stockbroker, attorney, and a doctor, and bang, a devil may care young fellow. His parents sounds like we're at wit's end about this thing. You know, deeply religious, shocked he wouldn't have anything to do with church. So they were really concerned about him and probably saw him really doing some crazy stuff and probably was doing a lot of stuff they didn't even know about. But anyway, they needed him. He needed them. And so, yeah, well, in my case, I was that devil may care young fellow. My mom used to say, we lived near a hospital, had emergency room, and my mom said she'd lay at bed at night and she'd hear the ambulance, you know, the sirens of the ambulance, and wonder if I was in the ambulance. And I don't know, might have been in the ambulance, I don't know. But so I really had her. I was that person. She was concerned about me. And then finally I had enough of living like that, you know, and somebody came along and shared God with me, and my life changed. So I'm a different person now. Now I'm looking for people that I can, you know, I'm looking for those kind of people, or any kind. I'm looking for other food addicts that I can help and share my experience, strength, and hope with. He consented, however, to go to the hospital where he occupied the very room recently vacated by the lawyer. So what a coincidence. But there's no coincidences, right, in God's kingdom. It's not even a coincidence that he ended up there. Kind of a divine appointment, right? And they walk in. The attorney must have really wondered. He walked in. Oh, no, same place. Same place I just was, and I was just in there. And I got saved out of there. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. Cheryl S., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S. from Nevada, gratefully recovered, although I have to be honest and say that my recovery has felt very shaky about this last week. So this paragraph speaks to me from both a sponsor's point of view and a sponsee point of view. And from a sponsor's point of view, it says, he proved to be a devil-may-care young fellow whose parents could not make out whether he wanted to stop drinking or not. And, you know, I've had, when I put my name out to be a sponsor, I have people call me, and although they're quite desperate to change and to lose weight, they're not always desperate to do this program, to do what's outlined in the book. And, you know, I just try and take people where they're at, because I never know. They may come in with this devil may care attitude and not really want to do the program, but higher power is amazing. And I have seen sponsees that through my own judgment, I thought, oh, I don't think they're ever going to get it. I've seen them get it and do very well. And from a sponsee perspective, just kind of the same thing. I don't always feel like doing everything that the program outlines that I need to do. And my desire to go back to eating is sometimes stronger or feels stronger than my desire to stay in the program. And that's kind of how I've been feeling the last week or so. And, you know, I've done a lot of talking. I've put it in my nightly review. And I've just come to the understanding that, you know, I don't need to know why. There's a million whys out there. And, you know, there'll always be a why I should go out and eat or why I'm a compulsive overeater, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that I'm just open to do what it says in the big book and that I do it. And if I do it and if I trust God, I know that I'll be strong in my recovery again. And I'm so thankful for that. Thank you for letting me share today. I pass.
Thank you, Cheryl. Cheryl S. Jody E., please share with us.
Thank you very much, Kathy K. My name is Jody E., and I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in California. So this is talking about the solution, which is a spiritual one. It's not a psychological one, although we do psychological things by working the 12 steps. It's not a question of knowledge, strategy, or management that makes us abstinent and keeps that way. It is spiritual. By giving to others what I have been given, I find my solution. In Bill's story on page 15, he says, many times, I was not too well at the time after getting sober and starting to work with other alcoholics. And I was plagued by waves of self-pity and resentment. This sometimes nearly drove me back to drink. But I soon found that when all other measures failed, work with another alcoholic would save the day. Many times I have gone to my old hospital in despair. On talking to a man there, I would be amazingly lifted up and set on my feet. It is a design for living that works in rough going. So life can be rough. Just because we're abstinent and recovered doesn't mean that life is easy. Life still happens. Sometimes horrible things happen. Our family members may be going through horrible things, or we might be. Some health challenge or other challenge. But this spiritual solution of turning my attention to someone I can help amazingly sets me on my feet and lifts me up. There have been times when I have felt that my feet didn't quite touch the ground as a result of working these steps. And that's possible for any one of us. If we really work these steps diligently and have the psychic change from self-centeredness to other-centeredness, the concern for others. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Jody. Joe M., please share with us.
Thank you, Kathy, for your service. My name is Joe M. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. So you see, there were three alcoholics in that town who now felt they had to give to others what they had found or be sunk. And I love the way that they put that because it's so clear. I mean, there's either or, like there's no door number three. I either have to give to others what I have found or be sunk. And you know how I've learned this? I've learned it by having periods of not sponsoring. I've gone through periods where I don't have any sponsees. And I am so restless, irritable, discontented. I'm so off center. It's hard for me to concentrate. I'm easily disturbed. And it's because I'm not sponsoring. And so, you know, I like to say, if you're questioning whether or not you need to sponsor, stop sponsoring for a while, you know, and you'll find out. So this sentence, it really is true. And it's not, you know, it's the word sunk is very clear. It's very like doomsday kind of language. It's not like, well, I have to give to others what I have found, or I'm not going to feel that great, or I won't be a fully effective member of OA. It's stronger than that. It's I'm sunk. I need the people I sponsor as much or perhaps more than they need me, because in working with them, I'm not sunk. In working with them, in giving away what I've been given, I'm saved. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe M., for your share. Okay, for those of you who came in late, we're sharing on the fifth paragraph down on page 158 in the big book. And I'm now looking to take some more names. Who would like to share?
Deborah G.
Melinda.
Deborah G.
Melinda.
Melinda.
Nancy C.
Nancy C.
Mary G.
Mary G. Anyone else? Okay, great. Let's begin with Deborah G. Please share with us, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, everyone. And thank you, Kathy, so much for your service this morning and everyone's service that has made this meeting possible and everyone share 12-step in me today. Thank you, thank you, keeping me awake in this reality program. And also welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're on the line with us. And I was just thinking about, I have sponsees and, you know, they're in different places with their work, their step work. And I like what was shared. I like to meet them where they're at. And I can call and check on them if I haven't heard for a while. But just in that groove, I believe that by going through those beautiful 12 steps like I was taken through by my sponsor, and the freedom and the connectedness and that I got with that divine, loving, compassionate, kind presence that I connected with and had the experience with. And that feeling, I was thinking that's what happened with them. They got that experience and then they weren't drinking. And with myself, I wasn't in my food, you know, because of that grace that was given to me. So I want so much, and I do believe that that presence, that power that I connected with wants me to do the same with other people. You know, I think that's what keeps me connected to others rather than separate. Because before doing this work, I was so absorbed, saturated in selfish self-centeredness and separating myself. But by doing all these actions, you know, with these beautiful 12 steps, with what I did for my work, and then doing it with others, and even sharing on outreach calls where I'm at is also helping somebody. You know, that's what lifts us all up together. And I'm so grateful that I can have this experience and aware of this experience where I wasn't. I went from self-centered to God-centered and self-centered to other-centered. And I'm grateful. And I can get lost. But I can get pulled back in just like from this meeting today. Thank you all. That's all I have.
Thanks so much, Deborah G. Melinda, please share with us.
Hi. Thank you, Melinda H., as in horse, in Virginia. And so grateful that all of you are here for a meeting, everyone. Absolutely everyone here. I am still a sponsee, although I've been in the program for several decades. And I feel like I've been given, I really have been given another chance, because every time I have relapsed, I became more willing to do more action. And I like what I've heard about, you know, I have to fit my life into my program, not my program into my life, because if I'm eating, I am a miserable soul. I feel horrible physically, emotionally, and spiritually. I'm just a walking hole. And, you know, the Big Book is my textbook. I love the Big Book. It's my textbook for learning, you know, how to live with this killing disease. It's going to get me if I don't do absolutely everything that I need to do every day to stay on the spiritual beam. I'm tripping over my words. even having said that, you know, I'm human, so I make mistakes, and I have to make amends when I do. But I like what's been said about, you know, when all else fails, working with others. True for me. I've spent so many years trying to do this by myself and, you know, ending up in the food over and over and over again. And so self-reliance has failed me. So I know this is what works. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Melinda H. And now could we hear from Nancy C. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, everyone. This is Nancy C. from Texas. I'm looking at this paragraph, and they're talking about three alcoholics who found a way to recovery. Just three. And they wanted to share that way of sobriety and have other people follow the same path. But it wasn't very easy for them. Seems like often good things don't come easily. They didn't have any luck for quite a while. But then they had one desire, and they just kept searching for that. And finally, a prospect surfaced, a young man who wanted to follow their lead. He seemed very rebellious and on his own path. Even his own parents doubted that he would be able to do it. But after listening to Bill and Bob, he finally agreed to go to the hospital for treatment. How often is it that we have to listen and think and wait before we can choose the right path? It doesn't come easy. It's slow very often. Many of us who are like that continue to have a life of sprees and binges because we're not willing to go any further. We just keep looking. And these sprees and binges break us down finally, and they leave us desperate. This young man met Bill and Bob at the hospital and offered him a new way of life, and he didn't sit still. He knew this life would lift him to freedom, at least that's what Bill and Bob were telling him, and sanity. All he had to do was listen and follow, and that's like us. We're here in a community of Bills and Bobs. We don't have any excuse. We've got the way in front of us. All we have to do is listen with open eyes and ears, listening and hearing and looking for an effective new experience, a new way to look at things, a new way to be. We pause, pause and ask for spiritual experience. So when we're confused or beaten down, we pause, we wait, we listen, we look around. And then we reach out to others with all our might and ask for help. That's what you do when you're desperate. You're down on your knees, reaching out and begging for help. I was in that position not very long ago, and now I'm slowly learning to listen more carefully and more frequently not put it off, to do something every day so that I can learn the way to recovery from the big book and from you, my fellows. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Nancy C. And Mary G., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Mary G. I'm right outside of Chicago. I'm not normally on this meeting. I actually usually listen to the first meeting. And I was on that meeting this morning, and I usually don't get to come on this meeting because I'm at work. But today I have two sick kids home, so I have the privilege of listening to both meetings. And I have to admit, I have been selfish lately, selfish with my program. You know, I have the normal excuses. I have a lot going on, kids, school, work, activities, blah, blah, blah. And I have not been sponsoring. I have not been of service. I've not even been sharing on the line, which I know is just a form of service in itself. So listening to these meetings the past few weeks and being in the chapter where we're at, it's so heavily focused on service and giving back and working with others. And it's been so in my face these past few weeks. I can't hide from it. It's, God is shouting at me, Mary, speak up, you know, say your name, be of service, you know, share on the meeting. So I'm doing it. Here I am. I'm doing it. And I'm sharing, and I can't, you know, hold back anymore. So, you know, I'm available to sponsor, and I just wanted to, you know, speak and not be silent anymore. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary G. We have time for two more shares. Who would like to share?
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Is there one more person?
Hannah B.
Barbara A.
Okay. Hannah. Okay, go ahead, Wendy, please.
All right, Wendy M., Boulder, Colorado, recovering, and thank you, Kathy, and everybody for your service. The last share really inspired me to speak up. It's like, even if I don't have the perfect share or doing the perfect thing, I need to speak up, right? So my sponsor says to me, I think I was on step 7, it's time for you to call the newcomer. And, you know, I'm like, wait, but that wouldn't have anything to do with me. Like, aren't I here just for myself? My go-to is, what can I get, right? I'm here to get stuff. And, but there's a good ending here. So it turns out that when I do call the newcomer, or frankly call anyone, but I've been calling the newcomers, I've never ever hung up the phone going, that was awful. I've never ever had a bad experience. God has always shown up and helped with what I call healing the separation, right? Like, no matter what happens, it's always a good thing. And I always say that when Ebby called Bill, the way I see that is like, he awoken him out of his trance, right? Out of his disease, frankly. You know, he got that phone call and it was like a shift in consciousness. And when I make that call or get that call, it's a shift in consciousness. Last night, I was so involved with myself and so involved with how difficult my life was. And I get this text from a sponsee in another program. And I'm like, really? It's late. This is not convenient for me. This needs to be convenient. Never mind. God's like, you're going to read the text and you're going to respond to the text. And when I did that, everything slowed down. All of my anger, all of my agitation and what I was involved with, because that's so important, all of that slowed down. And God slowed me down, had me read the text, had me meditate on what I would respond with. And it was like a different experience. And it's always that way. I literally never have a bad experience when I reach out to somebody, a newcomer, whoever, it doesn't matter. because I'm, you know, we're coming together because I'm separate, because I'm isolated, because I'm in my head, frankly, and I get restored to sanity when I come together with another human being. I always get restored to sanity every time. And with that, I pass. Kathy?
Yeah.
Anna, are you there?
Sorry, I'm here. I wasn't sure if you got me or someone else did identify at the same time.
I can hear you.
Okay. Hi, Hannah B. from Tennessee, compulsive eater. What a wonderful, powerful meeting. And really, I don't have anything new to share. It's just really reinforcing for me, you know, everything that is just true. And I find that... you know, when I'm working through like deep layers of myself, you know, and I'm someone that leans on and uses and needs outside help for some of my stuff, which I have results with, by the way, as not as a substitution for this work, but in addition to, because when I'm really abstinent and I'm really present, then those things can be allowed to come to the surface and properly processed. And then I have these tools to rely on, you know, to sustain me. And I find that even when I'm like working through something heavy sometimes the last thing I want to do is work with someone. Like I just feel like I want to crawl into a ball sometimes and just rest, which is okay too. But when I do extend myself and I'm of service and I make my appointments and I work with someone else, it's like, it's just absolute freedom. It's just liberation in those moments from my own suffering and from being engulfed in myself, you know, because that's really, that's really my problem, you know, and so many of these problems are just perception based anyways, you know, it's like, we can have these experiences as whatever, this wounding, but it's like, it's not even about the thing that happened. It's about the way we processed it and perceived it. You know, in order to break out of those perceptions, we have to be able to step outside of that. And stepping outside of that oftentimes looks like being of service, you know, and it's just such a great reminder. So thank you, everybody, for your recovered shares today.
Thank you very much, Hannah B. Close. Thank you, everyone, too, for being here and for sharing and studying with all of us. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 64 and follow that with the Serenity Prayer. Would Bonnie B. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Morning, Bonnie. Are you there, Bonnie?
I was reading away. Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much. I guess I was double muted. Bonnie B., thank you so much for allowing me to close. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your own relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you in